Hey, Startup Hustle listeners. Before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back. Another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here with Matt Watson. Hi, Matt.
Hey, what's going on?
Back for another all Matt episode.
Yeah.
Startup Hustle. Because yes. Two Matts is not confusing enough. We thought we would bring a third Matt in. So with us today. Now, actually, you know what? Before we get too far in, today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Now, back to the Matt problem that we've got here. So not only is Matt DeCourcy here, Matt Watson's here, and we have Matt Schmidt, who's the CEO and founder of PeopleLogic.ai. Matt, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Great to be on.
I almost expected a tandem of voices in the background. So we've navigated the triple Matt waters actually quite a few times.
Crazy.
We've had Matt Moody, Matt Basinger, now Matt Schmidt. But Matt, you're the CEO and founder of PeopleLogic.ai, which is an interesting platform that's helping managers learn a lot more about teams' performances, kind of checks in on digital footprints of and provides employee recommendations and insights. It's something you've been building for a while, and probably something that has a newfound sense of importance with workforces everywhere going mobile. So I think as we get started, now I've known you for a little while and Watson's known you for about 10 minutes. So I think the first thing we should probably get into is, you know, what's the backstory here? What is PeopleLogic and how did you come about? How did you turn yourself into a founder with this product?
Yeah, so, you know, it's a second time founder here. You know, we started building this product, I guess, back in the summer of 2019. Building and growing my last company, D-Zone, and then selling it to a private equity company, I saw that there was, our company had a ton of information that we could use to better manage the teams just by looking at the tools that we were using every day, the cloud tools. So Slack and Gmail and Office 365 and Jira and all the tools that your teams use. But, you know, too often we were running into problems where, you know, the mistakes that we made, the missteps that we made were all about the managers not deeply understanding their teams. And not having the time and the information to be able to really be data driven about how they were running those teams. And so after I left in May of last year, I thought, you know, maybe I'm going to do something about this one. And so I started to look into how we could build a tool that would help the teams, the managers, be able to better understand their people, and set out to do just that. And so now we've you know, we didn't expect there to be a global pandemic that was going to force all these teams to really break the whole, you know, walk around style of management where you get to know all your people and see them every day. But here we are. And, you know, we've really found our way into being a tool that companies are really going to need as they, you know, get beyond thinking about just how they're going to communicate with their teams and start to look at how they're going to actually manage them.
So this is something that uses a whole lot of different principles, we'll say. I mean, it's a software as a service product in its heart, but it's artificial intelligence and what we could probably define as HR tech. Is that, mm-hmm. is that accurate?
Yep. Yep. We're really applying. We're describing it as an AI augmented people analytics platform. So, you know, we're not trying to replace the manager with an AI. We're trying to help augment the manager with the information they need before they actually need it.
So is the goal to help understand if the employees are happy or if the employees are being productive or like what are some of the problems?
It's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both, Matt. You know, we're really focused on this view that the employee experience is a combination of their engagement and their productivity. And so what we do is give the manager the recommendations and insights to, you know, one day it might be that their team is, you know, feeling a little burnt out. And another day it might be that their productivity has dropped from the trend line over the last 6 weeks. And another day it might be that you as an engineering manager should really stop sending emails to your team after hours because that causes
come on.
This data shows that increases stress. I think that's the so we're really focused on a variety of different types of recommendations in the recommendation piece of the application. Whereas we have other pieces that are about pushing information to the team in the places where they actually sit, like their email and their Slack and those types of things.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. You talk about engagement, but one of the things that I've always struggled with the most is productivity, you know, especially with like software developers. Like, how do you know if they're getting anything accomplished? You know, and if they checked in code or didn't check in code or how much code did they check in, or you talk about other types of engagement, I think are good signals too. Like, you know, are they in Jira? Are they updating work items in Jira? Are they using Slack? Are they talking to their coworkers? Like, I think all, you know, all that different data and all those different data points could really help tell that story to figure out if somebody's working or not working.
Yeah, it's a holistic view that we look at from engagement and not simply, you know, most companies are trying to take the view of how frequently somebody's willing to take a survey, for example, to understand employee engagement. And we don't ever send out a survey as part of PeopleLogic. There are no surveys in the application and we're measuring engagement that way. But particularly with engineering teams, you're absolutely right. Everybody's trying to measure how productive teams are, but it's not any one measure that defines productivity. It's really about the results. And so, you know, we're trying to put together a picture of the results across a variety of different tools that these teams use, whether that's Jira, whether it's GitHub, whether it's, you know, how frequently a particular employee's pipelines pass, right? Or how often the team itself is deploying to production. So we're looking at all these different metrics to be able to try to produce a view of your team and your team's employees so that you can better understand the individuals.
Is this something that's made strictly for development teams, or does this apply to other types of stuff? Because as a non-technical founder, I make zero commits to GitHub every day. So, but it's true, you know. And that, yeah. And when I look at let's take an expansive team. You might have 6 developers, 2 testers, a product manager, and a technical writer. which are going to all have different things that you're going to look at to gauge their productivity. How does, I mean, so is PeopleLogic something that will cover all of that? And how do you look at employees' productivity differently? Because obviously a technical writer have different output than a developer.
Yeah, and that's something that's a great question. And it's a place we're always tweaking and continuing to add to the product, because we aren't just for developers, right? We're for any teams of any type. And part of the trick is understanding the key performance indicators, the KPIs of these different types of teams. And so, you know, if we're connected to your sales force, we might look at how your opportunities are moving through the pipeline, or how many the leading indicator of how many leads you're creating, or whether you've contacted them. If it's a customer success team, we're going to look at, how many tickets from certain customers are being created, and then how are those being followed up through engineering. If it's a documentation writer, maybe we're looking at, the number of pages in Confluence that they're writing, or, different metrics, right? So that's part of our reason for needing to build so many integrations and to connect to so many different tools, is that we need to have a really expansive view of the way the teams do work.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's got to be so much data integration of this. And, there are other tools I've seen before that like take a screenshot of an employee's computer every minute. And that's insanity. And,
Not popular.
Super creepy. Super creepy. Yeah. No,
and that's really invasive. So, I think what you guys are trying to do sounds like it's more passive. Like, maybe we're still reading your email. Maybe we got to track every phone call you make. Maybe we got to track your activity and all these different things. But it feels much less invasive. It's just kind of more silent behind the scenes.
Well, it is meant to be passive, but it is also not meant to be a tracking tool, right? Let's just get that out there first and foremost, because we're not tracking it for the end goal. The benefit for these teams is that their employees are better understood by their managers. Their managers are able to have better conversations with the employees because they understand exactly how the employees are performing. And they don't need to be micromanagers. And so they can go into the conversations, whether it's their one-on-ones or their staff meetings, completely prepared and informed. The other thing that we're looking at, so if you were to step back and you look at all the different tools that we're connecting to, all of this data is already being tracked, right? Every time you interact with all of these different systems, whether it's your CRM, whether it's your Jira, whether it's GitHub, they all have activity feeds. They all have these activity streams. What we're doing is making it easy for the manager to not have to go to multiple tools every day to be able to understand how their teams are performing. We are never going to take a picture of your screen. And that's certainly one of the creepiest outcomes of this whole pandemic and the acceleration of that kind of tracking, right?
So I have a question. If you talk about wanting to achieve results, I think that when it comes to people's different perception of what a win is, there's a huge variable there. Some people are happy just to fix a couple bugs. Some people would be absolutely overridden with terror to see that some existed. How do you get around that? Is that something in your platform that's user controlled and set, or do you just start kind of tracking where or monitoring certain signals and try, does your AI then at that point teach itself what a win is and what isn't?
Well, and that's a great question. And we're continuing to evolve as we continue to build out the platform, right? We're still fairly early in its evolution. And so, it's right now the key metrics that are wins are defined based on the type of team that we're talking about. So whether it's an engineering team or a sales team or a product team or success team, the type of win is defined there. As we enhance the platform, one of the what we'll do is allow those things to first be configured by the manager, and then based on the, you know, based on how the employee likes to be managed and to be kept, you know, where what they consider the wins, right? You know, I think we're still pretty far from being able to make that, you know, personalized to each individual employee around here's how I like to be managed, here's how I like to consider wins. But that's certainly on our roadmap.
I'm thinking a big struggle you guys must have is, you know, you could create the perfect tool for this for developers or salespeople, but then to try and perfect this for all these different types of employees, you know, do you go broad or do you go deep? That's got to be a weekly struggle you have to wrestle with.
It is. And, you know, and we're really very focused right now on serving the SMB market as well. You know, the types of high growth, smaller companies that need to move through, you know, being able to scale their teams as safely as possible. And, you know, a big part of how we will tackle this, you know, one team likes to be managed one way, one team likes to be managed another way. You know, what we've done there is begin to apply some personality AI work from IBM Watson to try to get a sense of to try
Matt,
to
once again, Watson, you do not get royalties off of IBM's Watson. So
it's named after me.
It is, but we fell short on negotiating those royalties. Just
you
as a quick reminder,
clearly did not. You didn't get to have the copyright name at the bottom of all the commercials.
At least I get to eat for free.
We felt. Do you?
No.
Do you? Okay, so Matt, everything that you have mentioned is a pretty big undertaking, and there's a whole lot of things that it's got to connect to, a whole lot of things that it has to judge. How did you plan for getting all this started? Like, I mean, it's easy to look at some of this and say, oh my God, there's an unbelievably large amount of things that need to be done. So what went into your plan? And I'm going to add a second part in there. You know, what about that plan a year later was way off?
Oh man, that's it's easy to say that everything was way off given how quickly things change. But you know, what went into the plan? You know, I think in a lot of ways, you know, what I knew I wanted to do, I wanted to iterate to an MVP really quickly, and so. You know, when we really set out and started working with full scale back in August to scale up the team in a dynamic way, you know, we set out with, okay, here's the set of things that we're going to do for this MVP. And for the most part, that stayed, you know, stayed pretty true. You know, I think some of the stuff, the biggest stuff that did not hold true was, probably around our specific go-to-market. So sales and marketing and the messaging and our pricing and all that kind of stuff has been super fluid as we work to understand exactly what's going to resonate with people. And so, you know, from an engineering and product perspective, the roadmap has stayed, you know, pretty solid and fixed from where we had designed it. We cut a few things out of the MVP and then shipped those probably a month and a half after the MVP. But really the sales and marketing stuff has been the biggest fluid piece as we've tried to launch this thing. And, you know, partly that's due to the pandemic and launching on March 17th publicly.
yeah, like the day of the lockdown.
Yeah, so... In the history of like really bad timing, that probably will be a winner.
So as you mentioned, your application's really data centric. Has it been a challenge to get a lot of people hooked up? And thanks for the full scale mention. I know that certainly wasn't required. We tried to help by having some of our teams connect to the platform. But as many people know, objects that aren't in motion are sometimes difficult to get in motion. Anything that is machine learning or AI driven, it's got an insatiable appetite for data and stuff. So what's it been like getting as much of that into the system as possible?
Yeah, it's a real chicken and the egg problem. And so, you know, the place where we've spent the most energy over the past month and a half has really been on simplifying how we connect people to the platform. So it, you know, when we first connected, we took a very developer-centric view that everybody would connect with API keys. That was not a great choice. It got us off the ground and got some data connected, but it made it too complicated. And so, you know, what we learned is that the people who are trying this out originally are these frontline managers. And so they need an easier way to connect the tool based on the permissions that they have. And they don't need to get IT involved to be able to connect that. So, you know, for example, from the data that we learned with Full Scale, right, your engineering managers don't have enough access to G Suite, for example. But it's still useful to be able to connect to that so that we can get the data about your calendars. And so we just rolled out this morning the ability for an individual manager to try it out without having to need all these other permissions to connect to G Suite. And we did that for Office 365. And so the more that we can make it easy to connect with a single click, the more we can capture all this data. And so, you know, we've really had to just be agile about the process as we, you know, see where do customers stumble as they try to get started with the platform, and then try to turn it around and change it and make it easier to use as quickly as possible.
So did you end up having to do a bunch of integration work that's just using people's logins? You're doing like screen scraping and stuff like that?
No, it's all using the public APIs for all the stuff. So everything is public APIs. It's all by the book. There's no nothing that's, you know, requires us to rely on how the screens look. 'Cause I've been in that world before. That's a really complicated place to live.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the issues of API keys and stuff, and you know, at the end of the day, it may be a lot easier to say, okay, what's your login to Salesforce or whatever it is, and then doing screen scraping, but I've been there too.
You know, one of the things that, and I've spent, I get into modes where I become hyper-centric on certain parts of e-commerce or startups and entrepreneurship, and this month's version has been user experience and product management. And I've been reading a book called Hooked, which is about creating habit forming products. And about a third of the book is nothing but advice on how to shorten your amount of time to get users to adopt anything. Less stuff, and then you have to overcome other things too. Like you mentioned, a Facebook login might seem like a great idea and a shortcut. And then you have people that don't trust Facebook, or people that don't trust Google, or now you need to have six different things connected and doing a whole lot of different stuff. So I hope that your efforts remain valiant there. It is probably something that's never done. Now, when you switch to the more of that kind of single sign-on type login, sign up or connection, did you see user adoption increase dramatically?
Well, we just rolled that out last week. So, you know, I think the biggest, you know, with any new tool, right, the biggest challenge is just feeding more people into the top of the funnel. And so, you know, right now, a lot of our focus, it's two-pronged. One is, how do we make it so that the service itself, when people are visiting the website, has enough critical mass that people flow through the funnel to sign up, and that they feel that the service is trustworthy, because we're asking them to give us data to their business, or give us access to their business data, right? And so there's a certain amount of trust that they need to feel with our company for them to want to connect these tools. And that's where, you know, that leads to the second part, which is how do we just make it easier and faster for people to get insights out of the platform with as few permissions as possible? Because the moment you sort of pop up this big scary dialogue about, you know, I'm going to need admin access for every user to your, and we're going to read all your email, well, that's, you lose then. Right. And so, you know, you're absolutely right about, you know, this, this experience that customers have to go through when they're experiencing a new tool. And that's really our biggest focus right now is just on making sure, you know, we create a great experience to the platform. And hopefully with that, then that's going to increase dramatically the way that people use the platform.
Well, and the word experience is really the key there and applies to anybody who has a software as a service product, right? It's like, if I go sign up for your tool today, as fast as possible, you've got to give me an experience that I learned something new about my employees, right? And, you know, I'll spend a few minutes. I can connect this app. I connect this data source. I connect to Pendo, Notero, Jira, whatever, right? And then I got to get an experience that shows me value, right? And that's the challenge you have is like, okay, how do we get all this data? How do we crunch it? How do I give, you know, valuable insights to my customers as fast as possible with as little work as possible from them, right? Yeah. Like, that's always the challenge with software like this.
No, absolutely. I mean, to give you an example of a conversation that we had internally is, you know, what comes first, the integration or the employees?
Right.
So, you know, you need both, but where, you know, you can see basic insights about yourself based on your own data if you connect. So, you know, we decided, okay, for the moment, we're going to push the connect a new integration as the first step. And then it will tell you that we've identified some other employees from this data. And so, you know, then you can go in and add those employees. But that's, you know, the real trick is, you know, what is the right order of things to connect? Because you could connect your Slack first, but the Slack is only useful if there's data that exists in the platform for you to talk to our insights bot,
yeah,
right? Or to get recommendations. And so it's really, it's a constant evolution of trying to understand exactly what it is that needs to come first and what's the right order for, you know, second, third, fourth, and fifth, so that we get the right set of insights for your managers.
It's easy. I want all of the information with no effort immediately.
So believe it or not, that's the norm. Right? Yeah, that's the norm though. I mean, according to the book that I just mentioned, I mean, that's pretty much, if you look at all of the most successful software platforms out there, they have like no steps.
Yeah.
It's about like, yeah, and that's the whole thing is it, from Twitter to Facebook, all of them. As you talk about how easy is it to sign up? How easy is it to do something that gives you some kind of result, a reward, or gives you a reason to continue doing anything?
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem. And we all talk about dropping stuff into the top of the funnel, but if there's a giant board across the top of the funnel, nothing's going to fall into it. And, you know, the question is like, are you just drilling holes in it? So now some of the stuff gets into the funnel, or what can you do to get the damn thing off? And that's, I think in this day and age, anything that connects to anything else always brings up trust issues. And, you know, you talk about that chicken and egg problem. I mean, that's something that goes a long way. Now, we were talking earlier about your planning and the way you looked at that. Did you overestimate or underestimate the world's trust issues with connecting to stuff?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. You know, during some of our early MVP feedback, you know, there was certainly that trust element was certainly present. I think, you know, coming from a developer world, I'm used to skepticism and doubt and lack of trust from we at DZone, we really, you know, we targeted developers for, you know, to sell them additional developer related tools and we sold our own developer community as well. So it, you know, trust has to be earned. It's not easily given. And so, you know, I probably under estimated how challenging that was going to be, because it's even more, no matter what you think about how hard it's going to be to gain that trust, it's harder than that. So, you know, because it become, you're not, you, we are not the system of record for most of this data. We may be the system of record for the people intelligence, the people analytics, but we're not the system of record for all this other stuff. And so we need to, you know, we have to look at it from, okay, how do we only capture exactly what we need? How do we make sure that it's encrypted end to end? How do we make sure that even when we've captured it, it's encrypted? And then make sure that our team has very limited controls and or very limited access and tons of controls around who can see it. So it's a, it has been a, you know, more interesting challenge than I probably would have given credit for at the beginning, since I just presume that most companies gave more access than they tend to.
So you mentioned having a prior, having prior experience as a founder, you had an exit, start something new. Throughout both processes, like what are a few things that you've learned that transformed you as a leader, a professional, or a person? Because yeah, I see this over and over again. As entrepreneurs, we continue to sign up to do it again and do it again. And it's that glutton for punishment in some regards. But you know, what did you learn from venture one to venture two? All of it. How has this changed you?
Yeah, you know, along the way, there's a couple of things, you know, so along the way, I think you get an appreciation for having great people in your corner and having a great team. And that's something I didn't necessarily learn until much later in the first venture. But in this, you know, in this venture, you know, starting from the beginning, you know, hiring people that are better than me at the things that I know I'm not very good at, right? I think most entrepreneurs like to think that they're, you know, perfect at everything and can solve all the problems. But I think that's the biggest thing that I learned along the way is that, you know, you got to be able to hire a great team and let them run and go do the things that you know you're not not great at. I think the other thing that I learned going through an exit is you need to put the jelly beans down. Otherwise you wind up with an extra 30 pounds when you're selling your company. So those are harder to get off the older you get.
I'm going to need you to expand on that one a little more.
So at our last company, my co-founder had just a bowl of jelly beans in his office, and you know, we'd come in for meetings and I have a real sweet tooth. I'm unable to just put that down. And so I would just munch on jelly beans every time we had a meeting, and these were Starburst flavored jelly beans. So they were, you know, you did not want to put them down. And all throughout our meetings and our calls, as we were selling the company, I would just, I was real glutton for punishment on those. That showed in the pictures at the end of the deal, that took a little while to get rid of.
There you go, listeners. You heard it here first. On your way to the exit, do not eat too many jelly beans because you will look fat. I had a different theory. Like before I got married, I decided I was going to get really fat because those pictures hang on your walls. They're around everywhere and people are going to see them forever. So people see that and then they see you after and they say, man, you sure look like you've lost a lot of weight. Like you look like you're in great shape. Are you getting younger? So there is a psychology to that. My current wife did not really agree with that approach, but it's working for me. So, well, good news for both Matts, because we have three people today, that means that we can play mixtape.
Yay!
So we'll have the all Matt version. The Matt Bowl is now. And Mr. Schmidt, if you've not played mixtape the game before, you're about to be fully immersed. This is a fully immersive society here on Startup Hustle. So I'm going to read a scenario and we are all going to name a song that comes to mind. We will vote. You may not vote for yourself. And then we'll have a winner. I figured since today's episode was about employee happiness, this next card will that I've pulled from the mixtape deck has a lot of significance. The song that plays while you're righteously quitting a job and throwing a cheeseburger at your shitty boss.
I mean, really, there's only one answer to this.
Is it Take This Job and Shove It?
I thought it was Fuck You by CeeLo Green.
Except for that was banned from play 200 episodes ago. Unfortunately, Matt, it's the skeleton key. It works for every mixtape card.
I know, damn it.
You know, you could go with, yeah, it's definitely got to be something from Office Space. Take This Job and Shove It could be a good one, or Damn, It Feels Good to Be a Gangster.
Oh!
There you go.
That's the winner.
You're not even submitting a song, Watson.
I quit. He wins.
My God. Lay it down. I can't. That means that Matt Schmidt is the winner.
Yeah.
Because I can't vote for a non-entry.
Yes.
My God. Anyway, the winner of this round of Mixtape the Game, which, by the way, the app is available on iOS and Android devices. So, once again, with us today, CEO and founder of PeopleLogic.ai, Matt Schmidt, out of lovely Durham, North Carolina. Many refer to that as the Research Triangle. There you go, dropping my regional knowledge today. Why is it the Research Triangle? Matt, why is it the Research Triangle?
Oh, that's a great question. I think the original roots are because of the, we have three different research universities here. And I guess in some really strange form, it does line up if you drew lines between them to make a triangle.
I think the important thing to remember for those listening in North Carolina is that Kansas University is still the basketball team, despite our loaning you Roy Williams. So, sorry, I couldn't help myself there. All right, so a couple more questions as we come to the thrilling conclusion of yet another episode of Startup Hustle in which Matt Watson did not win mixtape. So, Matt Schmidt, what do you consider a win at your business right now? Like, what's something that at the end of the day or the week or the month or the sprint or whatever, what's a win for you right now?
You know, we're still in that phase where every time somebody signs up, even for our free trials, that we're celebrating those. Every day we see one of the, we get a Slack message when that happens, and our VP of growth, built a little bit of marketing automation. We get a picture of a dancing cat every time we get a new trial sign up. So that's our little internal win. Aside from that, it's really, how do we, what are the types of, it's really about, did we get the features that changed the experience for the customer? And did we push those out to production? We push to production a couple of times a week as we, get new features built from the team. And so that's, did we get the features out that change how customers interact with the platform? And did we get new people to sign up? Those are the things that we count as wins.
Okay, I've got a new addendum that comes with winning mixtape. I have some alternate questions trying to improve and expand our knowledge of our guests. So if you were trapped on an island and you could only listen to one album, what would it be?
Trapped on an island and could only listen to one album.
Yeah, and don't hit me with some stupid shit like your Walkman's going to run out of batteries or anything like that, because you just have eternal power, but you have one album, and that's the only thing you're going to get on this island.
And I only get the
one. What about you, Watson?
I don't know. I was just thinking about that.
That's a really tough one. I could only have one.
I'll go with 40 Ounces to Freedom by Sublime as I wait for your answers.
Yeah, I'm going to go with one of the old albums from Everclear.
Just any of them?
I can't remember the name of it.
That, I was just looking through my Spotify here.
It's a tough question. It's a tough question. If you could pick four or five, it's pretty easy to rattle some off. But if you only get one. Yeah.
If you only got one, that I only had one. There was
Run out of time, and we're gonna assign you Britney Spears.
If I only had one, I think it's Wildflowers by Tom Petty.
That's a good choice. Right. Actually, I could probably live with that too. Yeah. That got a lot of play from me back in the day, and I just realized I haven't listened to that for a while.
Yeah,
so.
It's a one-off solo album, but there's some unique stuff on there, and if you're stuck on an island, it's a nice mix.
That was actually the Tom Petty album that kind of got me back into Tom Petty, and that's kind of where he kind of turned. I think that's where he differentiated himself from being in like Tom Petty, like the Heartbreakers, to being who he became. So, all right, now and once again with us today, Matt Schmidt, CEO, founder, PeopleLogic.ai. Go check out what they're doing. Before we do the founder's freestyle, once again, today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build software teams quickly and affordably. We end our episodes of Startup Hustle when given the opportunity by doing the founder's freestyle. And Matt, you will be first up. We often breeze by certain things. You can use this time to resolve anything we've missed, pitch your product, give advice, really anything. It's a freestyle. You can rap. You can sing Tom Petty's Wildflowers if you want.
Oh man, I've enjoyed being on here, guys. This is fantastic. And I think the big thing is just we're always looking for people to come, and whether you want to come work for the team, we're always looking for great people to join. We're also looking for companies that want to change how they manage their teams and how they can get to better understand their people. So reach out, Matt at PeopleLogic.ai, Twitter, reach out to us, LinkedIn. We're here to help your teams grow faster and with less risk. So we really appreciate you guys being on here.
Mr. Watson?
I think this is so interesting that you launched your product right in the middle, or right really like the first week of a pandemic lockdown. So. But what's cool is I think you've built something that can help remote teams. So, I'm guessing you would have wished you'd have like six more months to prepare though. But so it'd be really interesting to see how this, plays out. And, I think it's definitely a tool I'd like to try at Stackify and see, how it could help us. Maybe we can do a little trade. You guys can use Stackify and we'll try your guys' product out. So.
I love a little horse trading during the founder's freestyle. I like it. I think that the world is going to embrace some pretty massive changes when it comes to remote teams. You're seeing a company after company saying, yeah, we're not going back to the office. That presents a whole, as someone that employs a couple hundred remote people, there's a whole different approach and just all of it. And in the end, at Fullscale, we talk about being client obsessed. And yes, we want to be obsessed with our client success, but that's as much for the employee as it is for the client. Because when people feel like they're being productive, they're winning, they're getting things done, they're doing stuff that matters, they're happier. And there's a direct correlation to that and living what many call a purpose-driven life. And Matt, I've had the opportunity to get to know you over the last year, and I've watched and somewhat regularly checked in as far as how's the progress goes. I know that it's always a challenge starting something new. I think that you probably have a big opportunity here to see your business grow pretty quickly. You know, with that, anytime you want to look at people, people complain. I don't think people don't like feeling like they're under the microscope. So I wish you the best of luck in dealing with that part of people. I think in the end, quarantine's taught me one thing. I'm okay not being around people every day. So anything that can keep me connected, keep things productive. And, you know, I'm a big advocate. If your employees and the people that make it happen for you are miserable, then you're not going to have employees and people that make it happen for you for too long. So I wish you the best of luck. And this brings did Schmidt win the Matt Bowl by winning mixtape? Is that how that worked?
He is the better Matt. Yes.
So thankfully, and it was all because of Matt.
Yeah.
That today's episode of Startup Hustle was as successful as it was. I'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.